All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, tell your neighbor the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
So that's why I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say it again. I am increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm being empowered by His Spirit. I'm being made effective as a prayer warrior. I am bringing forth God's judgment unto the earth. I'm bringing forth God's mercy unto the lives of people. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's conclude what we have been saying for some time. You know, we take breaks here and there to do other things on Tuesdays, but we have been on this, how to pray for the people that you love, for some time. And I think we should be able to conclude that today. We started from the book of 1 John chapter 5. I think let's just go back there and start from there. 1 John chapter 5. Now, what we read from here, just to bring out and something that we already know, and that's the fact that we can pray for people, and because of the power of our prayers, God will have mercy upon the people. So we read from 1 John chapter 5. All right, let's just start from verse 13. It said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, this is the confidence that we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him." Now, one of the requests He was now talking about, and this is the context in which He was speaking, is written in verse 16. "If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death." There is a sin leading to death. "I do not say that you should make requests for this. All unrighteousness is sin," we know. That's John was trying to explain. "And there is, however, a sin that is not leading to death." Now, let me just stop here, because what we brought out from there is the fact that God will, for the sake of the man that is praying, give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. Now, there's something powerful here about praying for Christians. There's something about our lives as believers. I just want to take a few minutes and talk about this. Nobody can survive on his own. Nobody. It is not possible. This is a matter of fact. Christians, you can never exist by yourself. It's not possible. It's not possible. What John was writing here is that, let me just quickly say something. Again, I won't be dogmatic about this. What I think is sin unto death is, all right? I want to just say something briefly about it, but that's not where I want to lay my emphasis. My emphasis is more on the sin that is not unto death. Now, there's nothing, there's no person on this earth, really, apart from the Lord Jesus, that walked perfectly and never made any mistake. In fact, Solomon said it clearly like that, that it's not possible for a righteous man never to do anything that is wrong. That is not possible. All right? And that's a matter of fact. That's why John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, sometimes it appears as if the man John was contradicting himself when he says that the one that is born of God does not sin. But you see, he wasn't contradicting himself. He was trying to explain an issue here. It is not possible in this life for you to do everything perfect and you never do anything wrong. Even if you are doing everything perfect, what is going on is that you have attained perfection according to the level of understanding that you have. The moment a new light is shown to you, you realize where you are, and you are very far from perfection. Are you getting my point? And then you start walking again towards that. Then once you look around, and it's as if you are doing everything perfect, listen, you need another revelation. What is happening is that you have filled to the full what you understand currently. And that was what happened to Job in the scriptures. Job was a man, he did everything right. He never did anything wrong as far as he understood wrong and right. His friend sat down and said, a man cannot suffer the way you have suffered, except there is something that he is doing that is wrong. So Job said, show me what it is that I have done that is wrong. Did I ever take somebody's thing and I didn't pay for it? Did you ever see me take another woman apart from my wife? Did you ever see me tell a lie? Did you ever see me bear false witness? He said, listen, tell me something else. The man said, no, you must have done something wrong. Job said, I know everything that you know. We have the same background. We've had the same revelations. We have the same understanding. What is it that you can... Don't give me theory. That's what Job was saying. Don't just assume that I must have done something. Tell me what it is that I did, because I am not aware of anything that I did. His friend said, no, you must have been a sinner. Doing this one in secret. The man said, listen, if you guys don't have anything to say, shut up. And finally, they all kept quiet. Because Job, the Bible says, justified himself. Do you understand? And really, Job was not lying. I want you to understand that. Job was not lying at all. The fact is that God himself testified that there's nobody like Job. The man, however, the mystic, was that he was judging himself according to what he knew, according to human beings like himself. So when Elihu picked up, opened his mouth and began to speak, what did Elihu say? Elihu began to compare Job to the Almighty. He started asking Job things. You understand? Elihu was not talking about Job. He was talking about God. By the time Elihu spoke, then the Lord now took over and began to speak. The Lord began to compare Job to himself. The moment Job began to see a picture of the Almighty, he suddenly said, now I repent in dust and in ashes. This was a man who said he had never done anything wrong. So what did he now do wrong in that short interval? The difference was that now he began to look at God as his standard. And the moment the Lord became his standard, the man realized that indeed, I have not done anything right. And that's what Paul was saying, that listen, whatever it is that I did, I count as dung. I count as manure. I count as the lowest of things so that I may attain the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Because what he was saying is that everything I did right, as far as God is concerned, they are dirty. Are you getting my point? So Job, let me go back to it. John was not trying to explain here that he wasn't contradicting himself. What he was saying in simple terms is this. If anyone says he has no sin, what he's saying is that he's walking in darkness. Revelation has not yet been given to him. The moment revelation is given to him, he will confess. Now, this is what he will do. You will confess your current level of life and the deeds you are doing right now as iniquity. And then God lifts you up to another level of experience. And that's how it works, all right? So I'm going to emphasize that, you see, Christians, therefore, it is not possible for somebody to say, I walk perfectly and I never do anything that is wrong. Now listen to me, and another thing I should quickly bring out. You don't know something is wrong, does not mean it's not wrong. And every disobedience, every unrighteousness is sin, even if you are aware of it or you are not aware of it. So you may not know something is wrong, it does not mean the thing is not wrong. And then if something is wrong, even though you do not do it consciously, now listen to this, it still brings consequences into your life. Because sin, as far as God is concerned, is not only disobedience. There are two kinds of sins. You look at it now. All right? There's one in which you consciously disobey, but it is unrighteousness. That is, it is sin once it is unrighteous. What do you mean by unrighteous? It is not right. Even though I don't know it's right, that is, I do not know it's wrong, once it is not right, it is sin. But there is a sin that is deliberate disobedience to the will of God. Bear that in mind. So what am I saying there? For that reason, that's what John was saying. Sometimes you, as a Christian, you know that what this fellow is doing is wrong. Either because he doesn't know it yet, he doesn't fully understand that this thing is out of order. All right? The fellow is doing it. That's what John would now said. You pray for that individual. I told you before, I used to pray for my wife like that. All right? I mean, I still do it. She doesn't do things like that anymore. But when she used to do things like that, okay? Maybe I tell my wife, don't do this. And she just said, no, why shouldn't I do it? And she goes ahead. I said, this girl doesn't understand that. It's not about whether my husband is right or wrong. This is what they call disobedience, all right? So she didn't think it was a big deal. I just uttered a word of prayer for her, okay? She doesn't do like that anymore. You know, everybody keeps on getting better. Me too. I'm much better than I used to be. You have seen me 16 years ago. You wouldn't have married me, but now you'll marry me. The Lord is good. Now, I guess that's an illustration. Then, I actually used to do, because my reason was that I understood that this young woman doesn't get the point I'm making. So I just, under my breath, pray for her that this thing that she has done, Lord, let no consequence, let no repercussion come to her. And that's what John was saying here. He said, if you see somebody committing a sin that is not leading to death, you shall ask, and God will for him, that the person who is asking, give life to those who are doing what is wrong. And that's something I want to understand. That's why I said that you cannot stay, you know, other people have to pray for you. And I'm throwing that one down to you today, to remember to pray for other people. It's very easy for you to sit down and criticize people. That's what I'm trying to say. But John said that's not our assignment as believers. Our assignment as believers is to constantly pray. One of the prayers I keep on saying, at least for this in this generation, not just generation, this is just a matter of fact, because that's what Paul used to do for Christians then also, is to pray, very important, pray for people that you know, people that you love, that God will give them understanding. There are times somebody, maybe it's a friend of mine or a friend of yours, is doing something that you look at it, this does not look like the will of God. Is that, you know, the will of God for somebody's life? There are some things that are just the will of God generally. If a man say, why are you living here and going there? Say, man must make it in life. You know he's walking out of the will of God. This is not about, how do you know that's not God's plan for him? This is God's plan for him in the midst of his disobedience. Now, what we often do as individuals, we sit down and start complaining. Don't mind him. This guy is always chasing money. Maybe he does not even understand. Like, one young man wrote us a mail the other day. He said he heard me say that, you've not built a house. What's the big deal about it? He said he had never heard it in his life. I didn't know it was possible for a man not to know, not owning a personal house is not a big deal. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He took time out to write a mail that he heard me say it, and he had never heard it, which means he's been living his life with one thing in mind: I must build a house. Now, back to this illustration I was using. So, that kind of person you see him making decisions concerning his life, and you that understand some things, you'll be wondering, why is he behaving like this? Why can't he understand that life, do you understand, is not about what he's pursuing? The truth is that he does not know. And those are the kind of times, like I said, instead of sitting down and criticizing, why is he doing like that? I don't know why this guy is always behaving this way. You take time out and pray for him. And number one prayer you pray for every Christian, I say all the time, is pray for the fellow to have understanding. There are those, these are contemporary problem in Christianity, so I keep on talking about it. Sometimes you see your friends giving offering, and you know that this guy, this offering is just because he wants to prosper. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Yes, so if sometimes you see, in these days, you see a friend is rushing to, and when you hear the fellow talk, you know what's inside somebody's heart when the fellow is talking, all right? Based on what the fellow is thinking, starts telling you things like, you have to do this one. And you know, because of prosperity, because of protection. So that's why he goes to church. He doesn't go there so as to go and pray, but he stays all night because he thinks God marks attendance because this fellow is coming all night. Are you getting my point? You see that kind of thing? You talk to the person there, most certainly, but most importantly, pray. People do these things out of ignorance. And no matter how much you argue with people, until God gives them understanding concerning things, they can never get it. That's just the point I'm trying to make here. And that's what John was saying. Now, I think I'll talk briefly about sin unto death. What is sin unto death? I will tell you what I think. All right? If you have a better revelation, please share it with me. What is sin unto death? This is what I understand. I haven't read this. This is not our main teaching for today, all right? I think, it's my opinion, reading this, I think when a man knows what is right to do, are you getting my point? A Christian knows what is right to do, but does the opposite and continues to think that we'll ask God for, as an example, I will ask God for mercy and he will have mercy. I think that's what John means, that kind of person, there's no request he will make so that God will not punish that fellow. Why? It's deliberate and continued disobedience. You know what is right. Do you understand? You know, it's amazing. If you read the scriptures, you will see that, you read the book of Hebrews, he was actually giving warnings to these people. All right? Like in that Hebrews chapter 6, these people were under pressure. Yeah, he gave them warning and said to them simply, if you have come to the understanding of truth, Then now you continue in sin. Say, this sacrifice does not cover you. So there remains no sacrifice. So I just want to drop that briefly. So that's what John, you read that book of Hebrews, I believe it was Paul that wrote it, and he's explained to people. If you know what is right, all right, and you do that which is against what is right deliberately, that is the one that John said, and of course that will manifest in the way I see it in somebody persisting in doing what is wrong, which was why John said that we know that no one who is born of God sins, for he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. If it's Amplified, it says it like this: we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin, for the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil, and the evil wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him, or touch him. Now, that's the Amplified rendering of that chapter 18. So the issue here is about persistence in doing what is wrong. That's what I think is the sin that is unto death. Now, that's just, by the way, like I said, it's just something I wanted to touch briefly because that is our introduction, the one we use for this series of teachings that we have been on how to pray for the people that you love. Let me just remind us again. I was saying that, you see, in life, we need, because we are never perfect in what we do by ourselves, and that is why we need other people to pray for us. That's why it's important in life, I said that earlier, that you belong to a community of people, and then, very important in life, you don't go around life ruining relationships. Do you understand? You don't go around life ruining relationships. Don't, because one day you will need somebody to pray for you, and the only thing the Holy Spirit can do is to remind somebody of you. And if the only memory of you is that, don't mind that useless guy, I wonder where he is now. Is he still alive? Listen, don't assume that God always finds people to do what he wants done. He said it himself. There was a time I was looking for someone to pray for a whole nation. I couldn't find. How much more when it's just one individual? It's even harder to find. Let me drop that one for you. Make sure the memory of you leaves something sweet, all right, in the heart and the mouth of people. When they say, where's John now? John. Oh, God, I remember when John was here. Oh, God. Oh, God bless him wherever he is. Then the Holy Spirit can say, pray some more. I pray that God will supply his needs. Pray some more. God, no evil will befall him. More. Deliver. That's what I wanted to get to. Say deliverance. Deliver him. In the name of Jesus. Next thing you know, a force has gripped you to pray for John. But if John was the one that was ruining relationships, come collect your money, he won't give you back. Go behind and say, and abuse you on top of it, and you get to hear. Take your shirt, you don't hear from him again. When they say, where is John? He said, John, if he comes near here, wallahi, I kill him. Holy Spirit will say, that guy, this one is not going to pray for John. So he will leave, go somewhere else. Remind somebody and say, John. Person will know John as friend. No, he doesn't need any miso. Holy Spirit say, where do we go? Go, okay, he has another friend somewhere else. Goes across to America. Remind somebody. Say, that boy. The other day called me, say he wanted to come to the US. I said, me? Sponsor your application. As if I hate myself. After a while, after all, how many people met you in this life? Maybe just a few hundreds. He has gone through all of them. None of them think well of you. Oh boy. Next ray bullet, he go jam you. Do you hear what I said? Listen, the reason why God protects from all those things, somebody is saying a prayer for you. Are you getting my point? I just want to leave that one with you today. Don't just, I've seen people behave as if I don't need anybody in life. What am I trying to emphasize? It's one of the things you can do as a person for yourself in life. Don't go around really relationships. Very, very, very important. You don't go around. Make sure that the memory of your name does not bring a bad taste, all right, to people's mouth. It's very wrong. All right? But you, now, I've left that. What is your own assignment? Always pray for the people that you love. Now, let me get back into the main thing I want to say today. I've been saying many things. We are concluding it today anyway. We are concluding it today. Maybe that's why I'm saying many other things. Where I want us to read today is the book of Luke chapter 11. I'm going to conclude this today. Now, the Lord was teaching us to pray here. When the disciples said to him, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples. He now began to tell them in verse 2, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, and all of that. Let me pick up from verse 3. He said, give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Then it went in verse 5, said, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight, that is an uncomfortable hour, and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. My door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. In verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now let me stop reading here. But please give me a second. Let me just read verse 9. Verse 9 in the Amplified Bible says, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. Now, there are just 2 things I want to say here today concerning how you pray for the people that you love. 2 things. Now, one of them, I think I've said it before. I can't remember for sure, so it's safer for me to say it again, so that in case I didn't say it before, I won't forget to say it entirely. If you're around on Saturday, when I began to introduce my message, I explained something that as people, we can prevent what God wants to do on the earth, or we can allow it as Christians, as his people on the earth. God always requires the participation of people when he wants to do something on the earth. Bear that in mind. I also said then that, you know, the example I gave is that we can bind, let's say in Nigeria, a certain state, assuming that, you know, there's been so much violence, you have relatives, which often happens in our country, you know, people have been killed there, you are angry, and you kind of write that whole region off spiritually. And God therefore finds it hard to do what he wants to do there. Remember I said that on Saturday for those who were around, all right? And I said that we have to be careful therefore that we don't let offense settle in our hearts. Because when offense settles in our hearts, then it makes us ineffective as prayer warriors, as people who can pray to bring something to birth on this earth. I said that on Saturday. Now, and that's what the first thing I want to say here. Now, when it comes to praying for people that you love, let me say something to you first of all. The people that can offend you the most are those that you love. You remember that? If a woman, I don't know about Nigeria, all right, but abroad, if a woman dies suddenly, the first suspect is the husband. They don't wonder whether it's sickness or something. He said, this woman just died. The police looking at the husband. They've already gotten a warrant to trace his phone calls. Where has he been? Who has he been talking to? If they now prove that it wasn't malaria, it was not meningitis, it's not what they call a natural death, that man is assumed to be the culprit until proved otherwise. Even if he was not around, they will assume he asked somebody to do it. No, what I've told you is not a joke. That's the principle of law enforcement. And the other way around too. A man dies suddenly and it's not a natural death. Let the wife be in Switzerland while he's dying in America. They wonder whether she did not pay somebody to kill him. They have to rule her out that she's not the one that's responsible. Why? Because experience has shown that most times when a husband or wife dies, one of the major people that wants them dead is their spouse. What I've told you is not, I'm not fabricating, that's the reality. It's based on experience. That is, people that you love the most are the ones you also can hate the most. There's a principle that I'm bringing out. For that reason, people that you are supposed to love oftentimes are also the people that make you hate them the most. Why? They are the only ones that can Like if a stranger doesn't give you money, so what? You're broke. I don't know you. I'm going on the road. He said, good evening. Good evening, sir. I've not eaten for 2 days. And I look at you and say, how's that my problem? Do you think I've eaten in 3 days? And I walk on. You will forget me after 5 seconds. All you will tell me is that somebody told one of my chiefs those days, say, wicked soul. That's all. And I'm gone. But if it was the house of your brother, you will remind him that this is the third time he's doing it. Yeah, because you keep on coming there. You tell everybody, do you know I even went to my brother's house? My brother. And they say, your brother. Yes, my brother. Your brother. Yes, your brother. My brother. Yes, everybody's emphasizing my brother, my brother, my brother. Because that brought that thing. It's supposed to produce something. So when it doesn't, I tend to get offended. We are teaching Christianity. We are learning the ways of Christ. All right? Because these are things we have to be careful of. That's why we as believers have to watch out for that thing that is likely to happen. Make sure that you are not offended. Because like I said before, offense does not allow your prayers to be effective. That's what I want to emphasize. If you're angry with your loved one, you can't pray effectively for the person. And that's my first message for today. One thing you must do is to get rid of every offense against anybody that's supposed to be your loved one, which has become a hated one. The one I like to emphasize, first of all, your parents. Don't ever forget it. More people than realize it are angry with their parents. Some of the angers are justified. Some of them are not justified. There are some angers that are, when I say not justified, is that the fact that your father couldn't send you to the kind of schools that your friends went to so that they became what they are today does not mean that he's a bad person. He just couldn't afford it. Or maybe he felt that what he was doing the best for you. That's what I mean by unjustified, you know, anger. You've seen people that I've seen it before. They are just angry with their father. Why is he not rich? As if, yes. In fact, there's a proverb like that in Western Nigeria. That a child that says that the father was not rich, father didn't have money, he said, it will soon be your turn. You to go out and go and become rich. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, there are people like that. They're just angry. Why? They feel they have been deprived. What other people are enjoying? It is because of my father, because of my mother that I'm not enjoying it. I told you once I went to preach somewhere, or I organized a program, and a man came to see me. And he told me I should advise him now. Otherwise, he's going to do something terrible. I said, I didn't ask what he was planning to do, but what is the issue? That his father is not behaving like a father at all. What is it that your father did? That your father is selling land and is not sharing the money. Ask my father to divide the inheritance with me. I don't know if I get the point. One guy came to Jesus and said, ask my brother. This one said, ask my father. I looked at him, how old are you? He said, he was about 30. I said, at your age, you are waiting for your father to share money with you. Are you okay? I asked him, what do you do? He told me. I gave him counsel. I said, you're already working. You're educated. He had his own business. He runs a poultry farm. I said, when last did you take eggs to your father on a weekend? He had never done it. You can be sure of that. Have you ever dressed a bird and gone to give your father at Christmas time? He had never done it. And you want me to advise you before you do something terrible? This is my advice to you. You're a very stupid boy. That was in my heart. On the surface, I just told him, my brother, it doesn't work like that. Your father doesn't owe you anything. I told him literally, if your father sells all the land he has and then goes to the toilet, takes a pair of scissors, and starts cutting the money and flushing it down the toilet, I said, it's none of your business. You know, sometimes when I say some things, I'm surprised people don't know it. He had never heard that before. I said, your father doesn't owe you anything. You're an adult. The only person that owes somebody right now, as far as you are, I mean, you know, you look at life from two angles. I'm looking at it from your own angle. The only person that owes anybody right now is you owing your father what the Bible calls honor. I remember what I told him. I said, paint is not expensive. Once in a while, buy a few buckets, hire a young boy to repaint your father's, just the front, repaint the house. I said, go do these things and God will bless you. He had never heard it before. He was going around with offense. That's the kind of thing I call unjustified offense. It's unnecessary. The man, he didn't do something for forget. At least he has tried. He went to school, he paid. That's good enough. Some are justified. I was in the story of one woman today. I just showed it to my wife. It was such a sorry story. But the way it turned out was a beautiful story. She said she was a prostitute for 25 years. And she started when she was 14. What I remember her story is that why did she start? She, by the time she was 14, she had two children out of wedlock. I mean, how can you be, there can be wedlock anyway. She had two children from different boys in the neighborhood. She now said, we're talking about she, her mother died when she was small, that she was raised by her grandmother. Now, this is why I'm telling the story. She said, the woman was not a bad person. She just didn't know better. The woman, by the time she had the second child, the woman explained to her that she needed to go and look for money. The woman was an alcoholic. So she found out the easy way to make money was to just hang out, look older, and sleep with the guys. And she started getting money. That's how her life started, down one path. She was referring to it that she was not a bad woman. She just didn't know anything better. She was poor herself, but at least I was living with her. She was my grandmother. My mother was gone. Her mother died. You look at it sometimes, that's what I mean by justify. You see, why did she start on that path? There's everything in her life, all right, pushed her that way. But the grandmother actually demanded it. I've said that story. Let me just add one part of it that moved me. That I told my wife, come and read this. So one day she had a problem. You can check BBC News. Is there, if you have BBC News, all right, it's one of the featured articles for today. All right, you see there, 25 years as a prostitute. Very interesting story. The most interesting part of it is that if I plan to Google up the rest of the story to find out what really happened, because BBC News is not a Christian thing. So there was something they said. I said, no, you need to investigate it better. She said, she made a statement. One day she was wounded because one of her clients, a man, pushed her out of the car and then closed the door. He didn't know that he trapped her cloth. She had fallen out, but the door trapped her cloth and locked her in. So he dragged her like that for four streets, you know, what American calls blocks. So by the time she finally got free, she was thoroughly injured. Her face was peeled, her body, everything peeled. So she was staggered to a hospital and told them and reported that, sorry, she's been injured, told a bit of the story. So the nurse quickly, is the rule, called the police. The policeman that came to attend to her saw her and said, oh, I know this girl now. She's a prostitute. And she overheard the policeman and the nurse talking. And they were laughing at her. And the policeman just said that maybe she tried to defraud one guy and the guy beat him, you know, that kind of thing. So they left her there unattended to. So that's when she turned and said, God, please help me. And she said, and God answered fast. You should read it. It's an interesting article. He said, God answered fast. She just waited there patiently. Then one doctor came on shift, and that was the doctor that got, that doctor took very good care of her, talked with her, and then referred her to a particular place where those ones counseled her. You know, they didn't give details of what happened there, but she lived there for 2 years. At the end of the day, her life turned around, and she married about 3 or 4 years later. She's about 58 years old now and telling her story. And as I said, I want to go and investigate further. All right, very interesting story. You should read it. BBC News. I read it today. Now, why did I tell that story? If you see the way her life began that direction, it was because of the action of her grandmother. If she was supposed to be angry, I don't know, at who anyway. But she had somebody she could be angry with. But she just said that the woman didn't know better. Sometimes we've been treated wrongly in life. This is the unfortunate aspect. God put the structure in place. You are still the one he expects to do good to the people that did bad to you. And it's worse when the person was supposed to do good. Are you getting my point? Let me give you an example now. If a stranger doesn't do good to you and does bad to you, strangers are supposed to do anything they like. They don't owe you anything. But when it's your father that's supposed to do good, that one, if he does bad, is double jeopardy. According to Fela, it's when the dead body has accident. You understand? As if being dead was not bad enough. There's a story of one man I read. He had an accident he was driving riding a motorbike. So he turned into a street, thought it was a dead end. So by the time he saw the wall, there was nothing he could do. So he ran into it, bam! All the bones in his body were broken. So they called ambulance, put him inside the ambulance. Ambulance was speeding, pam, 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 ran into another truck, bam! The ambulance flung him out again onto the main road. It was on the main road they picked him, that is the grass. They picked him and took him to another ambulance. He survived. That's the end of the story. That was how he gave his life to Christ, too. Because, he gave his life to Christ. That's how I was reading this story. This was, I read this story when I was in university. All right, so sometimes, you know, it's the double jeopardy. When the man who's supposed to do you good, not only doesn't do his good, he now does bad. So those of us who have, if you've had good parents, you will know that some people are actually going through things like that. And it's most annoying, in quotes now, it's most annoying when somebody will not take the scripture and say, honor your father and your mother. And the young woman is asking, did you say honor the devil and his assistants? That's all she's thinking of. Are you getting my point? That's the only thing the fellow is thinking about. Honor who? That Jesus, no. Maybe. They start saying, look, it means, I've heard all kinds of doctrines. You know, the word father actually refers to a man who took time out to nurse, to cherish, and to protect. So if your father didn't do that, actually that scripture does not apply. It's a lie. It applies. It applies. But why people do such things is that they are pained. And that's what I'm preaching again today. That's one of the things about the grace of Christ. Once I sent a message out on Twitter, I said, is your faith working? A sign that your faith is working is not that you have bought a car with your faith. The sign that your faith is working is not that now you got healed with your faith. I said, you want to know whether your faith is working? Use your faith to forgive, then I know it's working. Most people use their faith to grab. Use your faith to release. Look at somebody that offended you and say to the person, you can go. That is when you know your faith is working. What am I saying? If you cannot, that's why you see here, the Lord Jesus, in fact, I forgot to refer to the very verse that I was picking this from. He said that you have to, when he was teaching to pray, he said, forgive us our sins, as we ourselves also forgive those who are indebted to us. That's what I want to bring out here. But our emphasis today is concerning those who we are praying for. If you are angry with somebody, you cannot pray effectively for the person. I explained that on Saturday. You can't. So one of the things you must do first is to use your faith to forgive the anger. All right? You must. Let me just say this thing I learned from Ed Cole long ago. People tend to repeat. I learned this from Ed Cole. All right, I don't have all the scriptures he used to prove it, but I remember the doctrine therein, and I believe it to be true, and experience has shown it to be true, that people who are angry with their fathers, he was talking about fathers especially, people who are angry with their fathers, he said they tend to repeat the very things they were angry about in their own lives. You see a young man, he had a father that drank and was a violent man, beat him, beat his mother, beat his siblings, because he was always drinking. Didn't take good care of them. He was womanizing. There are men like that. Some men are very useless. I hope you're not like that. No, I withdraw that. I am sure you're not like that. In Jesus' name, you are not like that. Nobody who listens to me is like that in Jesus' name. You're a good husband, you're a good man. Even if you haven't married yet, you're a good man. Amen? Amen. Say amen like you want it. Amen. Uh-huh. You know, sometimes I tell my wife, I said, all the women that married decent men, they should be flogging the women once in a while if they misbehave. You know what my wife said? It's true. In fact, we women, we should flog ourselves. No, because you hear some stories. And you're looking like, are we both men? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, some men do some crazy and terrible things. Very, very stupid things. In Jesus' name, you're a good man, amen?
Amen.
If you're a good man, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, you're a good man. So you have said amen, so it is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, Ed Cole said this. Let me go back to what Ed Cole said. So he said, a young man like that, you see, he hates that, of course. He should hate it. Actually, man be beating his wife, all right? Be womanizing, be abusing his children, not taking them, spending money outside, not at home. It's not a good thing. So the young men get angry. They grow up angry, of course, with their fathers. And their own determination is that they will not do it. He said, but you know the interesting part? If they remain angry with the man, before they know what is happening, they've started. Things like alcohol is addictive. Yeah, alcohol is addictive. They're addictive, things like that. The man doesn't know when he starts. You know, there are things that start, like we say in medicine, insidiously. You ask these friends, when did they start drinking? They can't remember. One says, he doesn't drink. The other one says, hey, he drinks. So when did they start? They can't tell. Why? Because today, he was drinking Coke. Then he started drinking Smirnoff. There's another one that looks like Smirnoff. Snap! Thank you. Then starts drinking Snap, which, you know, just small things. Then goes and get a bottle of wine. He takes it, you know. Then because he drinks only one bottle of Smirnoff in 1 month, you don't even realize it. He drinks when everybody's drinking malt. You don't think about it. Then it becomes 2, 3, 4, something stronger. Even he doesn't know. Do you drink? No. Just once in a while when I'm out with friends. He's drinking. The man is drunk. He does not know he gets drunk. The day they ask, they find out that he drinks. They ask, when did he start? He can't remember. Because he didn't used to drink. He smokes, uses Indian hemp. And then when he's drunk, he comes back home. His wife talks. He, come on. And he doesn't remember. And they tell him that one man beat his wife. What? How come, man? And his wife looking like, how can you be talking? You. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, he has become his father before he realizes it. Ed Cole says, why? Because he did not forgive his father. That unforgiveness dragged that spirit into him. Another generation has started the problem. That's when he said, how do you spell release? He spelled it forgiveness. That if you don't want the sins of your father to start again in your life, just forgive the man, not just forget him, no. Forgive him consciously. And one of the signs that you are forgiving somebody, one of the signs is that you actively make petitions, supplications for the person. Not just perfunctory, like, okay, let's just know we've done it. No, it's, you really want, like the man is still alive, you really want him to be saved. You really want God to help him. Let me say another thing. People that you love, you are not allowed to stand as an accuser. They have enough accusation against them. What do I understand as an accuser? Somebody who recounts their offenses and actually is waiting for them to get punished. It's different from you wanting somebody to be disciplined for correction. I talked about that some time ago. All right? It's different. This is like, he will see. Never wait for your loved one to see. Don't wish for them to see. Do like Moses. They've disobeyed God and they need to be punished. You stand and say, God, no, now. If you punish them now, you know it's not good. They will say that you are punishing my brother. Say what now? Let me just say this. It does not mean, this is not a very good statement, but it's a true statement. It does not mean you will always win. It doesn't. But you must be seen to have done that. You must never stand as an accuser when you are dealing with the case of somebody that you love. I mean, and at least somebody you are supposed to love, because you know, I think I told this, I gave illustration some time ago, that once somebody offended me and I told another of his friends that this is your friend, I'm not talking to him again. He now begged me, I said, please, you know he doesn't have many friends. That if you don't talk to him, what's going to become of him? That's something I want you to understand. There was one day that had some issues one time. She'd be calling me at different times, trying to, you know, for counsel and all of that. One day she called and said, please, I'm sorry, I'm calling you. You know I don't have many friends. And in my mind, I say, ah. Oh, so you know. Then why do you go around quarreling? Because she had a reputation for quarreling. I don't know whether you get my point. So you now know that, oh, you actually need friends. You need friends in this life. You say, please, oh, please, I'm sorry I'm calling you. I know it's late. But you know I don't have many friends. In my mind, I say, Jesus. So you know this friendship thing matters. So why do you go around fighting everybody? And the only reason why she was sitting in court, my friend, was because I couldn't be fought. She had fought my wife. You know, there are people you can't fight. They are senior to you, you know. I mean, I'm a Bible teacher, so enough you fight. No, that's what I'm saying. Look, your loved ones may not have many people praying for them. There's something I told you some time ago. I don't know whether you've been practicing it, even me that I preached it. I've not done very well with it. Make it a duty every week. Each one of the people that, each one of your siblings, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, add that one to it. People that are close to you, and then your friends that, you know, your first name pals. Mention them in prayer once a week. It's just 10 seconds, 50 seconds, 1 minute, depending on the intensity. You remember him. Oh, where is he now? Oh, he's in UK. Drop a word of prayer. Father God, please, as he goes about his business, let him never depart from the faith. Let him. Those words count. They count. They matter. Those people need those words. Many times we don't do our duties. I believe that one of the problems in this life is that we don't do our duties. If you do the things we are supposed to do, life will be better for all of us. God's power is look, God is alive and well. And he answers prayers. The major reason why we don't see his power is that we don't pray sincere prayers. I want to digress now, but I mean it. I should do that. If we pray, God will answer. In fact, I think, you know, learning to pray effectively is very crucial. If you're a pastor of a church, please, take time out and teach the members how to pray effectively. You know, most of the prayers we pray now, they are waste of, you know, we waste time. This night, the breakthrough you didn't see last year, you see this year, is a waste of time. Jesus specifically said that must never be the focus of a prayer meeting. But you know, we do that all the time. We advertise it, people flock. This fight of enemies, you know, I've told you. Only sinners do that, you know. You that's fighting the people that appear to you in your dreams, you're wasting time. The devil is helping you misdirect. We call it molecular mimicry. He's helping you misdirect your ammunition against your loved ones. It's a familiar spirit that's disturbing you. You'll be seeing your mother-in-law in dream. Now wake up in the morning, be praying against the woman. In case you have been doing that, I command you in the name of Jesus to stop that nonsense. Your auntie appeared in the dream. You are now firing her because you go and meet some ignorant pastors who maybe somebody promoted them or they got money and they started the church. They have big microphone. Once they shout enemy, the whole neighborhood will come there. Everybody is afraid. African man, so they be. Some of these pastors are so ignorant, you wonder how God is tolerating them. Honest, if the degree of ignorance I hear from people who call themselves pastors is embarrassing. Or somewhere talking with one man, he opened his mouth and made a statement. Thank God I did not know he was a pastor of a very big church in this city. I looked at him. Did you say that? That's how I answered him. I didn't know him. You know, he was a young man. You know, we just sat down somewhere. We were talking. Preachers, other people. He made a statement. I said, did you say that? I just said, I don't believe you said that. Well, later when I heard who he was, I said, yeah. I said, you're the pastor of a big church. Look at the nonsense statement coming from your mouth. I didn't know he was a big man, you know, that kind of thing. He looked, you know, in the evening now, guys wearing t-shirts and jeans. I said, you said that? I don't believe you said that. I just pointed to him like that. But later on, when I found out who it was I was talking to, I said, good, I'm happy I told him anyway. Even though if I had known, I wouldn't have told him. But I'm happy I told him. And this guy is going to be teaching people on Sundays. And he said, that's the problem we have. You gather people for a whole weekend of prayer. What are they doing? All the witches of last year, they won't make it into next year. Then they print, I told them, one brother photographed it. They won't get me this 2015. And people pray prayers so sincere that they will not get them the 2015. And they will not get them in 2016. Please, I'm begging you. Don't pray nonsense prayers. If we pray genuine prayers, Let me tell you, you have peace. Listen, go and tell those people who pray those funny prayers that they should, let's do experiment. The next 2 weeks, these are our so-called enemies. Let's bless them in prayer. Let's see whether our lives won't be better. Not them, our own lives. Those of us praying against them. Nigeria has fewer witches than Christians think. For every witch we accuse, no, for every 100 witches we accuse, maybe there's one. Even that one self has decided that it's risky to be. He has retired from you. He's not facing your direction. I don't believe any Christian has a witch facing his direction. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. In fact, you know why the witch won't face your direction? He doesn't need to. The devil will deploy him to where there's action. You are shooting yourself enough. Are you getting my point? You are wounding yourself enough. The devil doesn't need to deploy more ammunition. Because any Christian that can spend all the time facing witches and wizards and enemies obviously has so much ignorance, the devil doesn't need to worry himself about the fellow. I was telling a story just now that a woman just said, God, these people don't care about me. Please help me. And she said, and God acted fast. In a few hours, her life had changed. In fact, which was good for her. You know, I just look at her, that story now. You understand? If that didn't happen, she would have thought prostitution was, because that's the only thing she knew. She's been sexually molested since she was 4 or 5. She said one of the reasons why she went into prostitution was that they told her what it meant to be a prostitute. She said, they're already doing it to me now without paying. After that, she had 2 children by the time she was 14. She didn't know there was another kind of life. That day she came to hospital, she came for healing. But God looked at her and said, this girl, I need you, that. Look, this is like a woman caught in the act of adultery. It's not her. So God dragged her to a point where she begged him for help. Because she heard a nurse who was supposed to care for her laugh with the policeman because she's a prostitute. She realized that she was less than nothing. And she said, God, please. What I like the story is that she said, and God acted fast. In a few hours, no, that day that she said, God, help me, her life changed. That day was the last day she ever was a prostitute, ever. She said, God acted fast. I was listening to David Pawson the other day. He told a story. A plane crashed. He referred to it. One plane landed on another plane. It was trying to land, just, you know, hit another one that was on the runway. So cut that one open, both planes burst into flame at the same time. Jumbo jets, both of them. Now, one man survived. Now, that's the story. How did he survive? He said that he saw the flames just coming, turning, leaving people to charcoal before his eyes. Yeah, this was in seconds. The flame was just roaring down. And people were screaming and shouting all kinds of obscenities and, you know, angry with God. He said he just listened to all of them, and he was a Christian. He said, just bowed his head and said, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he waited for the flame to get to him. Next thing he heard was, boom, there was an explosion under him. The thing threw him through the open, because the other plane had caught the top of his own plane. The plane was the one that was on the ground. An explosion threw him out through that open place, landed on the wing of the plane, and skidded down the wing and dropped on the grass. The only injury was a cut in his arm as he passed through that gap in the plane. An angel squeezed him through the thing. Who says God doesn't answer prayers? He answers prayers. Listen, he's been blessing you. He's been taking care of you. Your being alive today is a serious miracle. He answers prayers. That's why he wanted me to start this school of prayer, so that people will learn how to pray effectively. Focus their prayers on the right things. You will find out that he does answer prayers. Back to what I was saying. I'll explain something. So we must never let unforgiveness. We must never let it. When it stays in our hearts, it makes us ineffective. Remember I said to you, don't forget, pray for the people that you love regularly. Each time you want to pray, the Holy Spirit will give you a word to speak. Trust me. He will. He will. Remember last time I explained that, don't worry about yourself. This prayer is not about you. One woman I told you to talk to me, by the time she finished speaking, what just was in my heart, I knew it was the Holy Spirit telling me, this woman's problem is her. It's not, I was praying for her husband. I said, this prayer you are praying, madam, is about you. I told her straight. I said, leave your husband alone. And you just feel like, as a big woman of God, with all my prayer warning, my husband should, everybody should see that he's responding. And the man refused to respond. So the embarrassment to her spiritual failure was her main prayer point. So I told her, madam, stop that thing. Leave the woman alone. Thank God for his life and you move on with your life, spiritually speaking now. So like I said, remove yourself out of the way. You pray for people that you love regularly, you'll be amazed at what God will do in their lives. Listen, if you really feel somebody's pain and you cry to God for mercy, he hears you. Are you getting what I'm saying? The one I've explained today is, don't let somebody's anger, or another way you may be angry with people. He didn't make the right choices. What he's doing now is bought it with his own hands. And sometimes, the way God, and I don't know why God did some things. Human beings can't survive by themselves. They can't. So he tied them up. The annoying part is that when he ties dead wood to you, you can't run fast. Do you get what I'm saying? They say run and they just tie one piece of wood tied to your leg. You know it's hard. It can be very annoying. Were it not for the money you spent on this nonsense boy, by now, you will have finished your house. You know it's very annoying. And why is he a nonsense boy? When your father said everybody should go to school, he was going to play football. And that football didn't favor him. He thought he would be JJ Okocha. Now he's JJ nothing. Anytime he's sick, he calls you. Honestly, that's one thing. You just have to pray to God to help you forget. You understand my point? And not hold those things against people. This is what I tell people, all right? I said the other day, there's something I said to you that all these things have to be balanced. That don't take it upon yourself to scuttle somebody's training. Yeah, I explained that one to you. So this is a different thing I'm talking about now. If it gets to that kind of point in life, now, this guy, interesting man. Now, there's something he does. This is why I'm telling you the story. He does very annoying things. Don't say annoying. Okay, I want to give you an example. Assume you buy him a shirt now. You sew native material. You sew it very neatly. He can call when he says, they didn't hem the leg properly. that kind of thing. You don't know how to respond to that kind of thing. It's that kind of attitude a man has. Very interesting attitude. What's my lesson there? Do the one that's within your power. Don't bother getting angry with anybody. It's unnecessary. Don't bother getting angry with anybody. In this life, don't. So maybe your brother or he has misbehaved. Now he's now disturbing your life, making... Hey, listen. What you just simply do is do the little that you can and relax about the rest. If you can't do it, you are not God. Any God in the house? If you are God, then put up your hand. Let me cut it for you. You're not God. Just do the little you can. And what I'm trying to emphasize to you is that don't get yourself angry over things. That's what I'm trying to explain. Don't. Your younger brother is your younger brother. It's not your son. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your father was supposed to train. He didn't train. Well, either he trained him or he didn't listen. Now he's a problem for you. Just do the little you can. He's hungry. You give him food. You pray for him. Don't try to keep your soul, at rest. Try. One of my friends went and disowned his brother and I agreed with him. But they talk. He calls him, man, I need to buy drugs. All right, send you some money. But I'm not going to lose sleep over you anymore. I just want to emphasize to you, you have to keep your mind free as much as possible. Do you understand? You get what I'm going to say here? Yeah, you do. If your brother is already dragging you to the police station because he's causing trouble, leave him there. Don't bail him. Jail is good for his soul. I'm serious, though. That's not supposed to be a joke. Then you stay free and be praying for him in prison. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless everyone in prison in Nigeria. They don't know what you're looking. That's your reason. That's what I'm going to emphasize there. You know, you see the balance I'm trying to maintain. In your heart, you are open towards him, but then you don't put unnecessary pressure in your soul that's going to bring forth anger and animosity. That's the point I'm trying to make, all right? Let me tell you that thing I want to say, please, and I immediately get down from here. And that's the fact that some of this may sound contradictory, but then you have to, if you listen to it very well, you see the balance in what I'm trying to say, okay? Now, next thing I want to say is this. The other scripture we read in that book of Luke chapter 11. Don't forget what I said. God tied us together for a reason. By the way, that my friend that did that thing to his brother, it was for legal reasons. That guy really created a lot of problems. So it was crucial that he didn't get dragged into it. Okay? So that's why he will relate with him personally, but keep some distance so that the boy does not contaminate every other thing. Try and balance what I'm going to say. I understand it very well. Now, if you think that Luke chapter 11, in answer to verse 9, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. And knock and keep on knocking. You will see the preceding part of the chapter. He said, a man went to his friend to ask for 3 loaves because another friend had come to him at midnight. Now, I want you to understand that the request was made because another friend needed the assistance. This intercessory prayer that we are talking about, it gives us a bit of the picture. And what I want to bring from that as I close, I want to say that when it comes to praying for your loved ones, you have a duty never to get tired. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, because remember, this life we cannot do without the prayers of other people. We need other people to walk with us, to be a blessing to us in life. And the person who will stay with your loved one last is you. So you should be the last person on the ship, if you get my point. The ship is drowning, you must be the last person. Okay? Until the day that man dies, don't ever stop uttering prayers. Until the day, as long as you are alive, utter prayers. Even though you see what the fellow is doing is wrong, is totally wrong. Just trust the Holy Spirit to help you to pray for the individual. Samuel said it like this. He was angry with them. He said, but God forbid that I should sin against him in not always praying for you. Because he continued to pray for Israel, even though he knew what they did was wrong. All right? He just continued bringing them their matter up in prayer. How much good he did, I do not know. And you will also not know. But one thing is certain, you must never, never, ever give up. Now, I've had situations in which I pray for somebody until I gave up. Now that I'm telling myself now, he's a friend, you shouldn't give up. Do you understand? You shouldn't give up. You shouldn't give up. It doesn't cost you anything. All right? Just to be uttering words to God in prayer. It's not costing you anything seriously. It's just those words. So that's what I'm trying to, I just want to add to it. Don't ever give up. We all need it. And remember something I said some time ago, you're actually blessing yourself also in the process, just to help, you know, because the principle of sowing and reaping, like I said, it's not an incentive for the wicked heart, but it's definitely an encouragement for the giving heart, all right? So for those who are willing to take up this kind of ministry, I want you to know there is a blessing in it for you also. God will also cause grace to come into your own life as you take up the matter of somebody else. I hope you've gotten my point here. 2 things I've said today that's concerning this particular matter specifically. 1, don't bear anger in your heart. People, look, that's one thing the devil tries to use to stop your spiritual power. Don't let it stay. And then 2, when you're praying for your loved ones, don't ever get tired. Don't ever get tired. One of the reasons being that you are the last person that they will have. Nobody else is going to take up the matter of your brother if you are already tired of it. Do you follow my point? All right, that's just the point I want to make. I hope you are blessed. That is the end of that particular series. That's how to pray for the people that you love. All right, let us bow down our heads and just pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Lord, thank you for light. Say, Lord, thank you for understanding. Just say, Lord, thank you for light. And thank you for understanding. Thank you for light. and thank you for understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ.